Well, better late than never, they say. That's what they say. It's the news, according to me. It is Thursday, August 3rd, 10:30 a.m. 10:30 already. Where's the morning gone? Well, probably mostly me drinking chai. Good morning. It is the news, according to me, the show that tells you my opinions. And then what you think about my opinions is your business. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor or a life coach. I'm not a hockey ref. A lot of things I'm not. So this morning, I didn't have a show yesterday, by the way. For those of you who didn't notice, just thought I'd point that out in case you happen to go through your day without noticing there was no show yesterday. I have, it's a lot of things happening. Of course, the third indictment now has come down on Trump. And there's a lot of rattling about that. And of course, Mr. Mike Pence has to weigh in on it. I think less, and every time this guy makes a statement, I think less of him. He just needs to shut up. If he'd just be quiet and just run, I think he would probably do better in the polls than he's doing right now. He spoke at this event where he said something about, I can't remember what he was saying, something about Trump. And his most recent statement is, I don't think he understands how he steps in it. He's making these statements that are just, it's like he's stabbing himself in the stomach. It's just like he's cutting his own heart out. I don't understand what he's doing here. He comes up with this statement. I really should have this stuff. There's a statement by Jack Smith as well. I might be able to pull that up here while I'm talking. But Mike Pence, his reaction to this thing is absolutely asinine. I mean, he's basically getting booed on stage right now. I mean, half the people that you have to understand, a lot of these events that take place, and JFK Jr. actually, something he said on the Jimmy Dore show yesterday that it will blow your mind about the Democrat Party. The reason I call them the Democrats is because of this very thing that he said. They are not Democratic at all. But keeps calling them the Democratic Party. It's not the Democratic Party. When I was growing up, we never called it. I know I'm hammering on, I'm kind of beating on this dead horse here, but it's not dead. Look at it, folks. It's still breathing. I'm still beating on it because it's not dead yet. I'm not going to stop beating it till it's dead. Not that I like killing horses. That's just that this is, it's more like a donkey I'm killing. It's a burro or something. I don't know what it is. Whatever their mascot is. So anyway, well, I've got this audio of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the Jimmy Dore show. And he's talking, Jimmy asks him this question about whether or not he has to sign something that says if he runs in the Democrat primary, whether or not he can actually he can't run as an independent. He has to forego that if he decides to do. So he either has to make a choice. Here's RFK's response to this, and it's really quite remarkable because to think of themselves as the Democratic Party, that they're all about democracy within their own party, they're anything but. And this is not the first time. This has been ongoing for a long time. They got caught with Bernie Sanders. They were doing it well before that because I guarantee you, Hillary Clinton, back in 2008, she was running against Barack Obama, you remember, for that primary. She had a lot of bad things to say about Barack Obama. She's the one who started the birth certificate issue. Hillary Clinton did that. Not Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton started that. Hillary Clinton was the one who came out with the idea of Russian collusion, who said that the Russians hacked our election, which people still believe to this day. How many millions of dollars have been spent? How many man hours have been spent on investigations into the Russian collusion, and we still have nothing to say for it. There's nothing there. But people still, there are still sitting representatives, congressional representatives, touting it to this day that say that the Russians interfered, that Trump is a Russian puppet, he's a Putin puppet, and that they affected the election. They won't say by how much. They can't find one vote that was swayed by the Russians or that was affected by the Russians. But they interfered, or they attempted to interfere. Okay. That makes Trump illegitimate for some reason. It's because they were trying to put Trump in. I don't. Because they were so scared of Hillary. Apparently, they're so scared of Joe Biden, they just went ahead and attacked another country. Well, there's a whole mess of things going on here with this whole Ukraine and Russia thing that I think go a lot deeper, a lot further down. This establishment thing is, its roots go all, it's, I should say its tentacles, it's more of a monster. But this is what RFK says to Jimmy Dore. This is his response after he asks him, so are you required to, like, if you can't, can you run as an independent if they don't let you in the Democratic, in the Democrat primary? Will they, do you have to sign something that says you can't run as an independent? I believe, I know she hasn't said it yet, and she may not go jump into it this year, but I believe that, Tulsi Gabbard is going to be an independent. I don't know. Maybe she won't. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But first of all, before I play this clip, I know that it's kind of a cliffhanger, right, for some of you here this morning. I understand that. I haven't talked about what's in my cup. So I'm only the, I do have vanilla chai with Cinnabon creamer. I've got about a half a cup of that left, but I also have a backup cup this morning. This is where the mystery usually lies. My backup cup. You can hear that. That's ice. It's ice in my cup. For some of you, that's important. Iced tea. Well, see, now you have to guess where it came from. It's kind of watered down now. This iced tea happens to be from Longhorn. I got iced tea from Longhorn. It was right there. I was on my way home. I hadn't gotten on the highway yet. On my way home from Chicago last night, I just decided that I'm just going to pull into Longhorn, get myself sweet tea there. So that's what I did. Worked out rather well. So that's the plan. That's what's in my cups. My cup runneth over. It's not running over yet. I hope it doesn't run over on my computer board here. So that's, we don't want that to happen. So we have all this stuff's happening. Now, I'm going to play this. This is the question he asks is this whole thing about whether it's going to run as independent. Listen to his response here. This gets really fascinating to me.
No, but there are certain states that that make you register.
Now, when he's talking about states, he's talking, I know his voice is very difficult to hear. You know, I believe his voice has gotten better since he started running. It's actually, and sometimes this actually happens to people. They have like a some kind of an injury to their throat or whatever has happened to them, and they've had an issue where they can't talk right. The actual act of doing a lot of talking will have a tendency to actually develop the muscles better, and they actually become better at talking. It's like anything else. It's atrophied. I believe his voice has actually improved some. Speaking of voices, this Jack Smith, this prosecutor that's going after Trump with this third indictment. When he comes out to introduce this thing, and I'm going to try to find that audio as well here while we're going through this stuff. But if I can find it, it's interesting because. There's a lot of things about his voice. I don't want to become the voice. Maybe I should become the voice whisperer guy, like the body language expert. I'm a voice expert. I don't know. I mean, I should just go with that. I don't know. Sometimes you never know. I start getting millions of viewers and become a full-time voice analyst. So I have this, but his voice has actually improved. And I have noticed this in voiceover work. The more voiceover I do, the more I speak and do voiceover, I get better at it. My, you know, your muscle tone in your throat, your neck, your ability to hear yourself, all those things get better over time when you start to develop those skills. When I listen back to voiceover work that I was doing 5, 6, 10 years ago, I sound like an amateur. I just can't stand it. I sound like an amateur. And I compare that to something that I've most recently done. I did one just a couple of days ago. And it is night and day difference. It is amazing the difference that is there. So in that regard, I think that possibly the more he speaks, it may actually be good for his voice to do that. I mean, in terms of the quality of his voice, maybe, now, because I know he's out there all day now, talking and answering questions, doing interviews, traveling, making speeches. And I know that he probably is developing those physical skills. Now, having said that, he goes on to this whole thing when he's talking about the states. He's not talking about the states, the state governments. He's talking about the state Democrat Party officials. This is the rules of the Democrat Party for their primaries. This is talking about the primaries, which the states have nothing to do with primaries. The states only have regulation, or they only have control and oversight, I should say, of the general elections. The parties themselves work with the states on those things. And they also work somewhat with the primaries in terms of locations and all this kind of stuff because they use public facilities. But they set their own rules up according to the primary. They wouldn't have to have a primary. They could just say, this is who's going to be the nominee. And that's how they want to run the DNC. This is what they got caught doing in 2016. And, you know, the whole Hillary thing with what they did with the Bernie Sanders people, and they just railroaded him out of it. And they came up with these super delegates. Well, we're just going to have super delegates that we pay for that will supersede. And he talks about this a little bit. He doesn't call them super delegates, but he basically says even if he gets more votes, he can still lose. Think how crazy that is. He gets more votes and he can still lose the primary. This is coming from the Democrat Party that wants to have a popular vote in the nation for president. Not because they want what's best for you. They want what's best for their party, for those who are in control, those power oligarchs who want to be oligarchs behind the scenes. So he goes on. Let's continue listening to this.
In October and November, you either have to register as a Democrat or you have to register as independent.
So he's saying in the states some states you have to register by October or November. And of course, that's prior to the thing. And if you do, you can't register as a independent or Republican for that matter. You have to register you have to choose a party or an independent, and you can't change that before the primary. So it's kind of one of those weird things. So then you can't be in the general election. That's what he's saying. So if you have to register as that person for the primary by that point, and if you do, it's before the primary, then you cannot run in that state. They will not allow you to put your name on the ballot. Now, you can be a write-in, but who writes in votes? Who has ever won? I don't want to write in votes. It's infinitesimal.
So you have to choose early, and then the Democratic Party is doing things to make sure that I can't, that even if I win more votes than Joe Biden, that they won't count. Oh, the Democratic Party thinks that I may win New Hampshire, so they've removed Joe Biden from New Hampshire, and they say that if any candidate, they've passed a rule that says any candidate who actively campaigns in New Hampshire at the delegates they win will not be allowed to into the convention.
Did you hear that? So they pulled Joe Biden out of New Hampshire and said that anybody who wins that cannot, they can, their delegates cannot be used in the convention. They have essentially nullified New Hampshire's primary. The people of New Hampshire have no choice now. They could vote 100% for RFK. And guess what? None of their votes, none of their delegates are going to go to the convention. They will not have a voice at the Democrat National Committee because they pulled Joe Biden out, because they've decided it's not important. It's unbelievable.
And that now what they're saying is they're going to extend that so that if you campaign in New Hampshire, which I've already done, that any votes that you get in Georgia won't count for you.
If you campaign in New Hampshire, any votes that you get in Georgia will not count for you. And they're all, their heads explode when Donald Trump calls the attorney general in Georgia and says, can't you find any votes anywhere for me? Isn't there some place that we, you know, we have votes that could be counted? And this is what they're doing in their own party. I'm telling you, these people are absolutely despicable. I hate to name people like this. What they're doing is absolutely despicable. It's disgusting. It's power mongering. It is. They're just going right down the evil path, a temptation to just consume power, to grasp hold of power no matter what it takes, because they think that they're so important, that they're the only ones who can wield this kind of power, that they need this kind of, because they have this some kind of moral fortitude that they have that no one else has. They're better than everybody else. They'll make decisions that'll be right for the country. And they hate the country. This country that they hate. It's unbelievable.
Either. And
what?
Yeah, this is what
Jimmy's having a hard time understanding this.
I don't know, you know, that my name won't be able to appear on the ballot in Georgia if I campaign in New Hampshire. That's what the DNC is up to now. I mean,
I thought Democrats are saving democracy. This seems like the opposite of democracy. This seems like totalitarianism.
It's not a good template for democracy.
That's a nice way of putting it.
No debates. They cut out New Hampshire, which is the one, New Hampshire and Iowa are the two states where you actually had to do retail politics,
right.
You know, because every place else, they don't expect you to. You can go to South Carolina. You can, you know, carpet bomb the state with advertising. You know a couple billionaires, and you're doing favors for them in office. They're going to give you enough money to carpet bomb the state from 30,000 feet with advertising, and then you drop in occasionally and do a stage rally, which is kind of a kabuki theater, mm-hmm. because everybody in it is screened. It's not real people. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this very carefully, what he says. I want to replay this because this is really important. When they have these conventions, it's by invitation only. Who are the people at these conventions? Have you ever been allowed to go attend it? Just going to show up and go. These are people who are invited. They're not, the entire crowd is not just people who've walked into these things. They're so excited they want to go to the national, to the convention. That doesn't happen that way. Listen to what he says about this.
You're doing favors for them in office. They're going to give you enough money to carpet bomb the state from 30,000 feet with advertising, and then you drop in occasionally and do a stage rally, which is kind of a kabuki theater, mm-hmm. because everybody in it is screened. It's not real people. Mm-hmm. It's all... And it's fake democracy, but the one place...
Everybody in it is screened, so they only have certain people who were there. It's fake democracy. He's very clear about that. And this is amazing. And you will never hear this on CNN. Of course, they discount this guy and say he's nothing but... Of course, then who's the person who comes out against him on the congressional floor? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was exactly the person that Hillary Clinton was colluding with to get the Bernie Sanders people pushed out. She had to resign from the DNC. And she's the one up there talking about moral standards, that RFK can't speak at Congress. They want to censor him and not have him speak because he has misinformation. He's spoken misinformation in the past, and we can't have him up there parading this information around. Well, just confront him with the truth. That's the best way. Shine a spotlight of truth on there then, Debbie. It's the best way to counteract misinformation rather than just squashing it. Oh, it's misinformation. He said something back in 1922, and we can't have him up here talking around because he's dangerous. 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 Coming this summer. RFK Jr. lurking around every corner, speaking things that we can't let you hear. Yeah, so here we are.
You cannot do that is the two places are New Hampshire and Iowa, because New Hampshire really has an industry. You know, there's 50 people on the ballot. The presidential ballot, and everybody gets a hearing. You're going and you're campaigning. It's like running for a city council. They vet everybody like it's a city council. They want to meet you, shake your hands. You got to go into the nail salons. You got to go into the barber shops. You got to go into the gas stations, the diners. You actually have to talk to Americans. No, and you have the old lady who's saying, who's asking you. Who reads The Economist every week, and she's grilling you on some issue, some arcane issue that, the New York Times is never going to ask you back. And then she has a follow-up question, another follow-up question. And you have to actually see the way that people are living in this country.
Hey, get a little.
So, very, very interesting stuff. Now, there's also this... So this whole issue with the Democrat Party, this is why I like to make the distinction that it is the Democrat Party and not the Democratic Party, because it implies this idea that they're all for democracy. They're all for democratic process. They are the opposite of everything that they claim to be. It's amazing. And this is, folks, I got to tell you, the Republican establishment is not much different. The Bush, it's so-called Bush Republicans. There's a lot of rich people there. There's a lot of very high finance folks in the Bush Republicans. They are deeply connected with the military-industrial complex and Big Pharma. There is a lot of cash flowing there. And of course, that cash flow tends to cause people to be very, how you say, manipulated, what they do and say. I hesitate to have any sponsors of my show. If anybody did approach me and wanted to sponsor my show, I would have to really seriously think twice about that. Well, not twice, but 10 times. With the outcome probably being no every time. It would be very tough for me to find the right candidate to be a sponsor for this show. Because I don't want to be owned. I don't want to be swayed. I don't want to be affected by some kind of agenda. Not being able to speak my mind, feeling out of fear that I'm going to lose my sponsor. or that I'm not going to get any sponsors, or that I'll be silenced or canceled, or whatever it is. Very interesting stuff, folks. So I'm going to pull up this other file. I want to talk about this Jack Smith thing. I'll talk a little bit about the indictment on Trump and what's going on here, as well as what's happening with Biden and the things that they're saying about Biden and the defense that they've got for this Biden. Or it just blows my mind. So I want to play this Jack Smith thing, and it's. I want to play it at regular speed, and it's almost 3 minutes long, so bear with me. I'm going to try to point some things out as he's speaking, and we'll go from there. But it's kind of a, we got time to play. It's I want to analyze this thing as we go. I want you to hear this guy. He has a lot of body language involved in it as well, and I think there's probably some body language experts. I think what's the name of it? Ghost. I think it's body language ghost is what she called herself. She does a really good analysis of this kind of stuff. She's very good. I've heard other body language analyst people talk about stuff, and they're very good at pointing out things that are happening, but they're not good at analyzing what's really trying to be conveyed. She can kind of, this body, I think it's body language ghost. She cuts right through it. And says, this is the, you know, this is this look or that look. This is, you know, this guy's hiding something. He believes, or this person believes what they're saying, but they, or try, is trying to get you to believe what they're saying. It's the believe me look, which sometimes gets confused with, I'm being open and honest. And I feel what I'm saying is really, I feel what I feel. Sometimes these people are acting, and sometimes they do a very good job of acting. And some body language people cannot, distinguish between trying to get you to believe what they're saying and having them actually believe what they are saying. That person who's speaking actually believe what they're saying. They're trying to get you to believe what they're saying. And there's a huge difference there. One is a deceptive, coming along with me, I'm gaslighting you kind of thing. And the other one is, I really truly believe this is my deep conviction that I'm believing this. And it's a very subtle difference between the two, but it's very noticeable. When you can play something back or watch it or kind of freeze frame it or play it slowly, you notice this kind of stuff. You don't necessarily notice it much in, usually what happens in normal, like real-time conversation with someone, they'll be speaking a certain way, and what happens is you get this gut feeling. You get this uneasy feeling about what they're saying to you, or not quite sure. You can't really buy in. If you're paying close attention, or if you're being objective about what they're saying, you have a hard time buying into it. Now, if there's emotional connection, which the emotional connection that they want to have here is people's disdain for Donald Trump, trying to play on that and draw you in. Well, this is what you're looking for. This is what we're going to get him to perp. We're going to get the perp walk. We're going to get the handcuffs and the jail time. We're going to put him in prison. That's really all we cared about. We got to throw this guy in prison. This D.C. court thing is very dangerous, folks, because there is actually the charges that they're bringing. You can draw a line directly to execution for the crimes they're supposedly accusing him of. But listen to the, first of all, we'll talk about the content of what he's talking about here, and what he's actually being charged with and what he's coming out and saying about it. Listen very carefully to what he's going after Trump on here. What kind of crimes he committed or what he did. The difference between what he did and what he's thinking or what he said. So what he said and what he's thinking. And the crimes that he actually committed or things he actually did or the evidence that they actually have. There's a huge difference here when it comes to criminally charging someone. Which is what they're after. They're after a criminal charge, not just a civil charge. So let's listen to this guy here as he comes out with this. Notice his voice. Just pay attention to this at this point, at the tone of his voice and some of the things in his voice as he's speaking. I want to try to point some things out to you to give you an education here on how to listen to people like this.
Good evening. Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding.
Okay, listen to his breath here. When a person talks like this, he's panting as if he just stopped running, as if he ran to the podium from, you know, three blocks away. His breathing is very shallow. This is a sign of stress. It is also a sign, combined with his body language here, it is a sign of phoniness. I'm reminded here of Adam Schiff. And Adam Schiff would come out and make statements. And out of his arrogance and his disdain and his self-righteousness, I should say, his self-aggrandized pompous attitude, he had a different approach, but it was the same thing. It was the same. The underlying message was unbelievable. Because he was, I couldn't believe it, because he would never come out with any content. It was always this, well, John Kerry is the same way. John Kerry is more manipulative. When a person thinks that they're the smartest person in the room and they're smarter than you, or they have information that you don't have, and that they've got something, they're leaning on that to get you to believe them. Oh, I've got information back here that I can't show you, but I've seen it. It's right there. It's all the evidence is there. It's all right there in plain sight. It's, you can, you know, it's very, very, very obvious. I can't show you the information, but it's right there. Christopher Wray recently has been asked a lot of questions again because of this committee that they're going on with the Congress. He is avoiding any answers at all. They keep asking, how many assets did you have on the Capitol grounds on January 6th? Well, I can't really, I can't really speak to that because of this or that. I can't really say. Did you have any assets there? Well, you can't, you didn't have any undercover officers there. Well, undercover, can't really say. How many people were on the payroll of the FBI who were there at the Capitol Hill? The people demand these answers, and you're not giving. Well, we can't talk about that. You can't really say because it's. I really don't have that number for you here. Are you freaking kidding me? We had a January 6th commission going over all the details of what happened on January 6th, and nobody knows how many agents there were on January 6th on the Capitol grounds that were working that day. Very simple thing. You just go to payroll, and you find out who was on the clock. Who had the day off? Who didn't? What was their location? What was their assignment? It's all right there on a spreadsheet. Push a button. Get it. I don't know that information for you. I'm just the director. I don't know anything about what's going on with the little people. You're being called before Congress to answer these questions. Apparently, you don't know anything about anything that's going on in your agency. And the things that you do know about, you can't talk about because, you know, it's part of an ongoing investigation and it's part of an internal personnel matter. It's part of, it would expose sources and methods. You know, I'd expect this if we had somebody from the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union up there. We were asking them questions like, we cannot answer the questions. Oh, no, we can't. Sounded more Japanese probably than Russian, I guess, but I don't know. You will own nothing and be happy. So, listen again carefully how this guy's speaking. And if you watch his body language with this, it's just absolutely atrocious. He doesn't believe what he's saying. He's really excited about being able to do this. He knows this is his moment. It's a big deal. I've got the president. We've got him. We've got him now this time. The walls are closing in like they've been doing for the last 7 years. There we go.
And conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding.
So let's listen to the charges here real quick. Let's listen to the content.
Conspiring to disenfranchise voters.
Disenfranchise voters. Disenfranchise voters. Now, I could play you, I don't know, probably hours of audio from different leaders in the Democrat Party in the 2016 election and in the 2020 election. Prior to the election, and even after the elections, that were disenfranchising voters. Now, the votes had already taken place by January 6th. The votes had already taken place. How are you disenfranchising them if they've already voted? How does that happen? We're talking about January 6th here. This is the charges here that are coming up. How do you disenfranchise voters who've already voted? So he's throwing this word out there that I don't even, doesn't even apply.
Conspiring to disenfranchise voters.
Conspiring to disenfranchise voters. Who's he conspiring with? Conspiracy is when you're interacting with another person.
And conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding.
Attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. What did Donald Trump do that obstructed an official proceeding? What did he do? Who did he order to do anything? Now, they're probably going to pull up witnesses who are going to say, Donald Trump told me to do this. Did he directly tell you to do that? Or did you just take it from the, you know, you heard something on the television and you, you know, do you do everything you hear on the television? And Willie Mays tells you to buy the ShamWow. Do you just go out and buy one? Because, well, Willie Mays told me to do that. These people made their own choices that day. And in fact, some of them didn't make their own choices. They were provocateured into it. Those are the people who should be in prison, in my opinion. Those are the people who incited things to happen, promoted and enabled people. Like there were people that were far deeper than Ray Epps. Ray Epps just happened to be in public. He's called a magnet. They call him a magnet. They'll go out and make statements and say things, and then in the process, they draw all these people in that they can watch. That's what he was called to do. That's what he was doing for. And I think actually he was working for a certain congressional person. Wasn't working for the FBI, in my opinion. Maybe he was working for an intelligence agency of some sort. I think he was working directly for a congressional office. I'm out of chai. Wish somebody from the congressional office would come over and get me a. But, you know, now me having that attitude or that opinion, they probably consider me a criminal. This is where we're going with this, because they're trying to get into the mens rea here. They're trying to get in his mental state. They're trying to get into his where he was in terms of what he believed and what he was saying. So we're going to continue on with this. Here we go. We get more of this stuff. So this is stuff he's been charged with.
The indictment was issued by a grand jury of citizens here in the District of Columbia.
District in D.C. A grand jury in D.C. This is where it gets dangerous, folks. This is where it gets extremely dangerous. And mostly dangerous because of this one reason. This judge, I can't think of her name right now. It's Nanchet or what? Nanchet? Conchet? Nanchet? Whatever it is. She is a extreme. She, when the prosecution went after some of these January 6th people, she was on the court. She was the judge for some of these court proceedings. And guess what? They were punished more harshly than what the prosecution was even asking for. You think she's made statements about Trump already. She should be recusing herself from, she shouldn't even have been involved in the draw. And here she is. I guarantee you, this is what may very well happen, especially with this judge. And I'll guarantee you, here's what can happen. When they arraign him, when they call him in for his arraignment, here's how it goes down. They call him in, they arraign him for trial. She has the ability to release him on his own cognizance. In other words, you can go home. Or she can detain him, which means he goes to jail. until the trial is over. She has that option. She may choose to do that because she doesn't want this trial to be extended out. And they know that if she puts them in jail, they're going to want a quick and speedy trial, which is what they want, because then they can get a conviction and keep him in jail. This is what they want. They want him dead. Don't get me wrong. Most of them want to see him executed because he's such a monster. These people are deranged. There's no other way to put this. This is mass formation derangement. It's amazing to me. Even if you don't like the guy, don't vote for him. What has he done to you? The news media has made him out to be such a monster that they can't even keep they can't even keep him contained now. People are so freaked out by the guy. It blows my mind. First of all, the presidency has gotten way too much power. And in the minds of the Democrats, it's their king. It's the head of their religion, basically. It just amazes me. So let's continue on with this guy. We'll play a little bit more here.
And it sets forth the crimes charged in detail. I encourage everyone to read it in full.
Everyone.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy.
It's an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. If you've ever... If you recall back to 2016, when on 2017, January, when the president, I think it was January 20th, when the president was inaugurated, the damage, the protests, the speeches and things that were said that day by the people downtown, the left wing flipping out and going nuts, calling the election fraudulent, calling him an illegitimate president. For years, we heard this. In fact, Hillary Clinton, even after 2020, she still said it. He knows he's illegitimate. Those people were never charged with anything with regard to attacking our democracy or anything else. And there was damage done to the Capitol grounds, probably more, actually. And there was much more damage done downtown. You didn't see Trump putting up fences around the Capitol. He's going to go into this whole January 6th thing and talk about how bad it was. It's, of course, the worst thing that ever happened to us since, World War II, since Pearl Harbor. Worse than 9/11, where 3,000 people died. So, he goes on here. Let's continue on.
As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
Okay, this guy, how anybody can stand to listen to this guy for more than a minute, it just blows my mind, because he's flat out... He's a phony. He's just a phony through and through, completely, in this whole thing. Everything he's reading a written statement, and the written statement means nothing. Listen to what he's reading here. It's the content of what he's saying is nothing. There's nothing there. He influenced this attack on the Capitol. He influenced it. Okay, how? Doing and who was influenced, and what did they do? Who was the... Continue on.
The men and women of law enforcement who defended the U.S.
Now, he looks down at his paper and he reads this, and then he looks up and gets this look on his face. And he kind of bobs his head. Now, when someone's talking and they're bobbing their head and they're doing this weird movement, they're trying to push something in your face. And the way he's talking is this staccato kind of, there's this really weird staccato thing that happens with someone when they're trying to tell you something, trying to punch home a point. They start to emphasize every word. I've heard some people on YouTube do this, and it drives me up a wall. They get into this habit of doing this, and it drives me up a wall. They will talk like this with every word being. They try to emphasize every syllable. Of course, I'm over-exaggerating, but they do this. And I see some YouTubers, I see some people with podcasts, they get into this habit of doing this, and it's not normal. It does not, after a while, it becomes very annoying. Now, if you're doing it for like one sentence where you really want to get your point across, see what I did there? But then you don't keep talking like that. It gets back to this whole thing of natural speech and how you can read a transcript and then you can read the transcript many different ways. I didn't say she stole the book. 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 All those things imply something differently in the conversation. But if you read the transcript, it all says the same thing. But the emphasis becomes, this is something known in voiceover as understanding the emphasis of the title, of the meaning of the sentence. What is the captured part of the sentence? Captured my microphone. The important thing to realize here is that when he starts to get staccato in his voice like this, it's very subtle. But it's kind of like the believe me look in body language. It's the same kind of thing. You're trying to emphasize this to try to get your point across because you're not really sure. But then you couple this with the shallow breathing, which is very unsupported by his tone. If I just start speaking from my chest, I can't even do that. I don't know how he does it. But if you're stressed out enough, you get maybe I can force myself to do this. So now I'm talking. I'm not really, and I can't. I don't know. I can't even do it. It's just too phony.
U.S. Capitol on January 6th are heroes. They are patriots, and they are the very best of us.
So these officers. Speaking of which, these officers. This one officer, by the way, who listening to his story, you'd think he was like Rambo that day. He came out and he had this whole big long testimony about how he got sprayed with bear spray. Couldn't his eyes and his chemicals were all over him, and he couldn't even hug his wife when he got home because the chemicals were still all over him, and didn't want to affect her. And then he went into the shower and he tried to take a shower and it reactivated all the chemicals and he couldn't sleep all night. But he still showed up the next morning for work at 8 o'clock because he's dedicated. Well, frankly, sir, if you couldn't sleep all night, maybe you were more dangerous at work the next day. As a Capitol Police officer carrying around a gun after having not had any sleep all night. You don't think they would have given you the day off after heroically laying your life? He claims he was doing CPR on one of the protesters, caring for her. He was the only one left with a shield, so he was using his shield to protect all the other police officers in the hallway until they finally ripped the shield away from him and he hurt his hand. He couldn't use his hands. So I don't know why you're showing up for work. His hands were almost ripped off of his arms, according to what he was saying. He goes through this whole long list, this whole litany of things that he did that. And this guy's like amazing. It's like he by himself held down the whole Capitol. We owe our democracy to this guy. The podium was almost, just taken by, if it wasn't for this guy. Now, they'll play this testimony along with the video of what actually happened at the time. Because there's video of this whole thing. He's not helping anybody. He's not doing anything. He's walking around talking on his phone. He's not getting into any, there's no video of him in any scuffles at all with anybody. Not doing CPR. Somebody else was doing CPR on the, but guess who it was? It wasn't Capitol Police officers. It was other protesters. There's no evidence of him having been sprayed with any kind of bear spray. The whole thing was a sham. But he's the best of us. He's the most patriotic. He's the best of us. Those Capitol Police officers are awesome. This is who they're lifting up right now. He was touted as a hero that day. Wants to get a Congressional Medal of Honor. Nancy Pelosi probably would give him one. There's no evidence whatsoever this guy did any of the things he claims or that anything happened to him. He never went to a doctor for any of his injuries. I don't even think he was treated by a medic or an EMT. But he's the best of us. A Festivus for the rest of us. Not for the best of us. All right, here we go.
They did not just defend a building or the people sheltering in it. They put their lives on the line to defend who we are as a country and as a people.
Yeah, apparently everything revolves around who we are as a people and a country is in a podium there on the Capitol Hill. See, this is what these people don't understand.
The very institutions and principles that define the United States.
No. See, principles and institutions don't define the United States. The people define the United States. This is what they keep forgetting about. They think that this little building up on a hill with all these pompous, arrogant, I won't go any further than that, people, somehow they define who we are. That they are at the seat of our nation's democracy. Well, no. See, because the seat of our nation's democracy is in the heart of every human being in this country. We are a self-ruled, self-governed people. Individuals, not collective society, governed by some hill on Capitol Hill. They're there to protect the rights of every individual, not... I've gone over this before. You've heard me say it many times. Not to dictate and rule over us like they're our parents. Don't treat me. No, look, kids, we have all this stuff. We'll protect you over here. We can't tell you what's going on back here. Just have to trust us with everything that's happening. Okay, kids? I'm not your kid. We're not children. We're not your children, especially. We're individuals who make up our own minds. We have our own lives. And we don't need to be dictated to. You can tell us all these secrets, all these things that you're supposedly keeping us from because it's too much information for us to handle. Boy, if I was a cussing man, I just lay into him right now. But there's just so many things that come to mind that I could say. I won't say it.
Since the attack on our Capitol, the Department of Justice has remained committed to ensuring accountability for those criminally responsible for what happened that day.
Really? This is where I get really angry. I get really angry. Because there are people who did things that day under orders who, in my opinion, deserve punishment. And I rest a huge amount of that on Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, directly oversees the head of the Capitol Police. Donald Trump approved National Guard to be there that day. She refused it. Why? Some of these police officers that have made out, they've now been made out to be heroes by the January 6th Commission. are in it for themselves. The four people who were there, who were testifying at January 6th commission, are frauds. At some point, this will all come out. And I think now that they've spun this entire web of lies, this entire web of falsity, in my opinion, they are more scared than, this is why they're more scared than ever of Donald Trump. Because now they know if he gets back in there, they're all done for. They're afraid he's going to find a way to expose all of this. And he just might have a way of doing it. They're creating this by continuing to railroad and do these things that they're doing. They're poking the bear. And personally, I believe this is why they're scared. They were scared in 2016. I believe it's why the agencies that went after Trump, these same agencies that we're supposed to believe now, were the ones who were trying to keep him from being elected. And after he got elected, they were still investigating him secretly, working against him behind the scenes. And now we're supposed to somehow believe they're impartial. We find out that everything that they were doing was both illegal and nefarious. I digress.
This case is brought consistent with that commitment, and our investigation of other individuals continues. In this case, my office will seek a speedy trial so that our evidence can be tested in court and judged by a jury of citizens.
Speedy trials do not help prosecutions unless they are railroading someone. The speedy trial is on the part of the defendant. This is a little complicated statement he makes here, and it's very interesting that he makes it this way, that he wants to see a speedy trial. It's a defendant who wants a longer trial is typically the guy who's innocent. A prosecution who wants a speedy trial is usually the one who has, trumped up, because I don't want to use that statement, fake or illegitimate accusations or a shaky case. They want to get it over with quickly because he knows at the end of the day who's deciding the case is going to be a jury that you could just put Donald Trump up there and say, here he is, and they would all go, guilty, put him in prison, execute him. We don't have to hear anything. We know he's guilty. That's the way this jury is going to be because it's a D.C. jury. They've had cases. You can compare cases day after day. And with 100% accuracy, you can tell whether or not they're for or against a particular political person who's up there. Because they are completely slanted to the left. Completely. And this judge is going to go far and beyond what would be considered legitimate or appropriate. He goes on with this whole flag-waving thing that he's doing. He hates this country. He's doing this for his notoriety and his name. It's just all it is.
In the meantime, I must emphasize that the indictment is only an allegation and that the defendant must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. I would like to thank the members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, the members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Huh, so they're involved in this.
Who are working on this investigation with my office, as well as the many career prosecutors and law enforcement agents from around the country who have worked on previous January 6th investigations. These women and men are public servants of the very highest order, and it is a privilege to work alongside them.
Now, one of the things you have to notice when I'm not going to play this over again because I could go back over it. There were several places, at least five that I counted, where his voice actually wavers. And what I mean by that is he's breathing so shallow that he can't, there's not enough support in his vocal cords, and he almost can't get the words out. It's almost as if he's kind of, I can't. You kind of get this underlying kind of uncertainty. It's called uncertainty in the voice. There's something there. It's not being supported by his heart, by his gut, by his instincts, by his convictions. There's nothing coming out of that. At the end of his statement here, he has this weird look on his face. His eyes are kind of open, and he's looking around like, okay, did everybody believe me? He's kind of assessing the audience at this point. And he's looking around with this.
Thank you.
Of course, he gets done, looks down, looks away, doesn't look at anybody, doesn't take any questions, walks off. He's not looking at anybody, just walking straight ahead. Very, very strange behavior. Michael Cohen, of course, is back on CNN. He was a former Trump lawyer. He's the one who's involved in the whole Stormy Daniels thing. He spent time in prison for what he did. And of course, CNN, he's the little special child now at CNN. For 4 or 5 years, he's been telling us that, you know, Donald Trump's going down. He's going down. Walls are closing in. Now, let's say that, here's the thing. Bill Barr, former Attorney General Bill Barr, has come out recently and made a statement. He said, Trump knew full well he'd lost the election. Now, Bill Barr made this statement because he knows the legal process. He knows that they have to develop mens rea. Basically develop the intent of the individual. Their whole prosecution is going to determine what the underlying part of this. Now, the jury won't care. If they had a decent jury, they would really have to hammer this home, but they don't have to do that with this jury or this judge. And what they have to do is establish that Trump acted recklessly, and you'll hear Comey, and you'll hear even Mike Pence make these statements. He was reckless. He was reckless. Reckless implies something. It's a legal term. What they're going to try to imply here is that Trump knew he lost, but he didn't want to let go of power because, you know, they had to force him out of the office. They had to actually physically go in and take him out with military. Not. You know, the interesting thing here, let's just go over some facts. The whole election was basically, if you narrow it down to how many votes actually determined the outcome of the election, it's about 42,000 votes. Could have changed the election. 42,000. Here's where the problem is. Now, I'm not going to say that there weren't ballots. I'm not going to say that there weren't 15 million more ballots for Joe Biden than there were for Barack Obama. Which is ridiculous to think that that's legitimate. There's all these anomalies that are out there. Okay, let's just say all the votes were actually ballots that were actually voted and counted properly. Here's the problem. This is where the real crux of the problem is. Many of those votes were done illegally. And here's what I mean by that. Legislatively, the whole mail-in ballot thing was done by fiat and by decree from governors who had no authority to do so. This is where the problem lies. Mail-in ballots were sent out in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, probably millions if you count them up from state to state. Sometimes two or three to households that only had one person that could vote there. These ballots flowed like water over the Niagara Dam. Millions of them. They were a little overwhelmed by how many more came out than they thought that, you know, there's like a bunch of them out there that kind of looked a little ridiculous. But right away, this was the most secure election ever. The day after the election, this was the most secure election ever. And if you said anything about it, you got silenced. You were excommunicated from social media. You were called a conspiracy theorist. And then after January 6th, you were considered to be an insurrectionist. You're a criminal for just saying that. Now, Donald Trump, I believe, truly believed that the election was stolen. And what he means by that is, I think it boils down to this very thing. This is why he called the Attorney General in Georgia. It wasn't to shake the guy down. All these mail-in ballots that came in, all these absentee ballots, all these early voting ballots, the voting boxes that they had out everywhere that Zuckerberg paid for to put them in specific areas so that the mules could do their job. They were hauling in votes gleaned from nursing homes and everything else out there. Ballot harvesting was going on, which was also illegal in many states, in most states. These ballots all show up because they were collected illegally or by illegal legislation. In some states, there was as many as 250,000 votes in some states that were brought in by illegal methods, methods that were deemed by their own. I think it was Wisconsin Supreme Court, state Supreme Court declared that about 250,000 votes were basically illegal. That the governor had no right to instate the mail-in ballot, the ballot box, that stuff, all the stuff they were doing. It might not have been Wisconsin. I know. Now, of course, this isn't going to happen, I don't think, in Michigan, even though that same thing happened. The governor just stepped in and said, well, we're going to have mail-in ballots because COVID, pandemic. Well, the whole delegate process is done because of a pandemic. It's not, we don't have to have mail-in voting because of a pandemic. This is what Trump is implying. He's not saying that there was a bunch of phony printed out ballots, which there could have been. There maybe probably was. Who knows? Well, maybe we never know that. But they're trying to say that Trump knew that he lost the election, but he's being reckless and trying to interfere and reverse the course of the election. And then, of course, Mike Pence has come out and made his little statement. And then he has the audacity to say, anyone who doesn't follow the Constitution has no right to be the president. Should not be the president. And he keeps saying, I followed the Constitution. Anyone who doesn't follow the Constitution shouldn't be the president. So he's just saying he should be president. Because look at his honor, the way he honored the Constitution. Where's the problem with all this, Mike? Why then did the Congress come out and change? They actually made a law, regulation, I don't know what it would be considered. They clarified what the Constitution says. Here's the reason. Because there was a path. If Mike Pence would have said, he claims, oh, this would have been a mess because they would have had to send it to Congress and it would have been a mess where the Congress would have decided. Here's how this would have happened. Mike Pence would have said, I believe there were problems with this election. I'm going to send back these delegates to the states for clarification until the Supreme Court rules on things that have happened. Mike Pence says his hands were tied. All he could do was open the ballots and count them. No, Mike. See here again. We were in a very extenuating circumstances here. We had a pandemic, Mike. You could have said, you know what? We are in unprecedented times. Let's just send these ballots back. Let's send these delegates back and just make sure, let these states work it out. We're going to postpone the January 6th delegation. We're going to postpone it because it's in a national emergency. We're just going to make sure these delegates are correct. There would have been nothing wrong with that, nothing unconstitutional about it. But now they have, of course, changed that. They've now hypered it in basically to say, this is what it means. Now, you know, the Supreme Court can always rule on that and say it's not what it means. Each state has its own election. This is where the problem is. It's not federalized. And the more the federal government gets involved in these rules, the more federalized it becomes, the more centralized it becomes, and the more the states have less and less power over their own elections and the delegates that they send. Now, there are some states right now, they're going, they're scratching their head going, you know what? We determined that we had, you know, 80,000 votes that were basically illegal because of the way they did, because of the process we did was not legitimate. And I guess, you know, the other guy won because we did something illegal here. But nobody gets blamed for that. Trump is the only one to blame for calling them out on it. I truly believe, and this is the problem with Bill Barr's statement. He comes out and says, I believe Trump knew he lost the election. Here's the problem with that. It doesn't matter what you believe, Bill. First of all, I didn't know you were a certified mind reader. Secondly, it is a subjective opinion that he's entitled to. Now, you can say that the things that he said caused people to be incited into doing something on January 6th. You can say that. They had permits to demonstrate. They had permits to, it's not like they just showed up to take over the Capitol that day. They had the right to demonstrate. They had the right to protest. Certified on paper. They were given permission by the all-powerful state. Even though we have a right, it's like the Second Amendment. We have the right to have a list of grievances and to right to assembly. As long as they give you permission. There you go. There's your right. We've taken your right away from you. Now you have to apply for a permit for that right. Same thing for the Second Amendment. In a lot of states, they take the right away from you to keep and bear arms. To keep means own. Bear means carry. It means to bear. I bear arms on my body. I keep them on me. And apparently that's illegal in some states unless you buy a permit from them to do that. They take your right away from you and then you have to buy that right back. That's an infringement on that right. Well, in case you have to pass, now you have to pass a safety class. You have to go to a class and talk about gun safety in order to get your permit so you can carry. Excuse me? Where is that in the Constitution? I'm sorry, Sean Hannity, but that's not in the Constitution, and you can stick that up your pompous butt. Now, look, I like Sean. I just think he's a little too much cozy with the establishment, in my opinion. Continues to have Lindsey Graham on his show, who I believe is the biggest snake in the Republican Party. One of the biggest, anyway. So right up there in the top three. This show has gone long, really long, like an hour and 15 minutes. And I know I've been kind of pushing a lot of different things here. And this is all about the whole thing that's going on with Trump and everything else. I haven't even gotten into the Biden thing. Tomorrow morning, I think what I'm going to do is a live show tomorrow morning. If unless there's a breakfast thing I might go to, but it still hasn't been put together yet. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. It may not be happening. But if I don't go to the breakfast thing tomorrow morning, I will have a show. And I'm thinking it might be live. I actually have the next couple of days off, so I'm going to be trying to get some sailing in and do some other things. I actually get to go meet with some people tomorrow night that I haven't seen for a long time. So I'm just looking forward to all that. In the meantime, folks, count on a live show tomorrow. Now, Monday and Tuesday, probably will not be a show. Probably not. I just, the way things have been going, yesterday was a full, I got up at 4 o'clock yesterday morning. I didn't get home until about almost midnight. It was a very busy day. I went to Missoula, Montana early in the morning, and I was there all day. It was an all-day thing. It's a three-hour flight each way, so it was a very long day. But, yeah, let's just say I was tired when I got home. So next 3 days will be spent kind of resting, and I'll be on for 3 days and then back off again for 3 days. So pray for me. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.